Welcome in to the Saturday edition of the Daily Tap. It is September 1st. Happy College Football Saturday to you all. Hope you've enjoyed the initial stylings of the college football season. It's only getting started, as they say. This is the last Daily Tap that we will be taping on a Saturday for the not-so-distant future. Got some new content coming for Saturday's podcast that we're adding to the Snowtap Network. I will tell you about that next week when Mitch and I do Tapping the Keg. So tune in for that. As for the schedule for the rest of the weekend, I think this is kind of a bridge episode, and then probably tape one again on Sunday that will sort of serve as a Monday podcast, kind of get you guys ready for everything. So consider these the Labor Day weekend editions, and then we'll be back in swing Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we're going to be doing Tapping the Keg, where we'll be previewing the Packers for Friday, a little weekend watch list on the side. I think we'll be doing sort of a Tapping the Keg special. We'll figure it out. We're going to make it all work. It's going to be a little messy this week with just a lot going on personally and just, yeah, it's a four-day week, a lot happening. So we will talk about the Khalil Mack deal, him going to the Bears, if the Bears scare us or not. Shouts to the real ones who understand that little reference. We'll also talk about the Packers' 53-man roster, instant reaction for that, and then a little bit about just what the Brewers did. They also added people to their roster, what they're looking like heading down the stretch here as they get ready to take on Washington in a mere matter of hours. So you know where you can find us. Snowtap Network. It is on the Snowtap WY page. It's in the right-hand corner. That's where you'll get everything. We launched a weekend watch list yesterday. You can go back and listen to how wrong my football predictions were. I expected the Florida-Atlantic-Oklahoma game to at least be a little close. I think we all overestimated Lane Kiffin a little bit and probably underestimated Oklahoma as they just buried Kiffy and the Oklahoma and Florida Atlantic. So, yes, let's dive right into today's Daily Tap and talk about Khalil Mack. So I woke up today, I talked about it on the blog, but I woke up today around 8:30. My phone had died from the night prior. So I had all these text messages from my guys on the group chat and talking about Khalil Mack to the Bears. And let me tell you, that was not what I had wanted. I think we had mentioned when there was the limo driver rumor with Khalil Mack to the Lions that it was definitely something where you did not want him to go to the NFC North. That would be the worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario happened. For some reason, the Oakland Raiders decided they did not want to take the Green Bay Packers. What I imagine happened is they wanted two first-round picks. Green Bay probably told them, look, we're going to give you 2019, we're going to give you 2020, but we're not going to give you both 2019 picks. And the Raiders said, nope, we want both. And they were rebuked, and they went with the Bears deal. They gave the Bears back a second-round pick. The Bears basically do not have draft picks for the next 2 years. They are very much sinking their wealth into this version of the Chicago Bears, and that this is the team that's going to take them back to that promised land, back to the 2010 NFC Championship division-winning days. And it's a massive risk by the Bears. I mean, this isn't me as a salty Packer fan, right? It's me as, are we sure the Bears are there yet? Are we sure Mitchell, don't call me Mitch Trubisky, is that good? The Bears still have a lot of questions, even with Khalil Mack. Is Khalil Mack a game changer? Absolutely. Does Vic Fangio have a defense that resembles the ones that we saw with San Francisco? No question about it. But at the same time, the Bears are still, how can you say that the Bears are a Super Bowl contender with Mitch Trubisky at quarterback? I mean, what has Mitch Trubisky shown that really makes us think they can contend for a Super Bowl? Mitch Trubisky lost to fucking Brett Hundley at home last year. I mean, there is just, If I was a Bears fan, I would be thrilled with Khalil Mack, right? It's hard not to be thrilled with Khalil Mack. He's one of the best players in football. The Raiders continue to be one of the most mind-bending football franchises right now going on. They are like the Knicks of the NFL. John Gruden just traded for A.J. McCarron because, right? Like, why do you need A.J. McCarron? And you also dealt Khalil Mack. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I don't get what's going on. Like, if Reggie McKenzie was smart, he would come back to Green Bay and he would be part of the Packers front office. That's what Brian Gutekunst should be doing right now. He should be telling Reggie, like, hey, look, just come back. Just come back to Green Bay. We'll give you an elevated role. We have it all developed for you. And you can be in Green Bay. Because, like, I'd want to get out of that shithole as quick as I fucking could. I do not want the blood on my hands when Oakland's a 4-12 team. But going back to the Bears, like, I get that it's exciting for Chicago and that they have a real opportunity to make some noise here this year. And that Khalil Mack might start out. I don't know if he's going to play against Green Bay. John Middlecroft, who is a Bay Area NFL Network guy, seems to think that he's going to play in week one, which is wild to think about. Obviously, NBC would love Khalil Mack to be. The storyline there would be crazy, and the matchup with David Bakhtiari would be fantastic. But at the same time, we don't know if Khalil Mack's going to be ready for game one action. He could be back for game two, which would obviously benefit ESPN, who has the Monday night game between the Bears and the Seahawks. And imagine Khalil Mack going up against that offensive line. And yes, so the focus of the NFC North goes on the Bears and Vikings in a weird way. In a weird way, the Packers have somehow become an even more, like, non-story in the NFC North. And I fucking love that. The Packers are going to come into this season as probably least talked about that they have been since, really, I don't know, maybe like 2006 or 7. Like, that's kind of where we're at right now, because if you think about it, everybody was talking about the Vikings before the season started because they added Kirk Cousins and they were a bad game away from being in the Super Bowl, and that Cousins is a savior. They added Joe DiFilippo, who was Carson Wentz quarterback coach and offensive coordinator, and did wonders for him. So, and there are a lot of people taking Minnesota to go to the Super Bowl. So there's that bucket of hype. So that was the hype to start the year. Then the other bucket is just now, and people are like, well, the Bears. I mean, are the Bears the second best team in the NFC? That's going to be a real conversation. Are the Packers the third best team in this conference? That is the take that's going to be out there. So I love it, because you know what? People are going to go on and disrespect this Green Bay team because they didn't get Khalil Mack. And look, we're going to talk about the roster here in a second. I get that they don't have the best at off outside linebacker, and they're going to have to make some moves. I am not denying that at all. That said, this is not one of those things where the Packers still have Aaron Rodgers. They still have a shit ton of talent on both sides of the football. Mike Pettine knows what he's doing with the defense. There are a lot of things that line up right now that I would not bet against the Green Bay Packers. If anything, this gives more fuel to Aaron Rodgers' fire. And there would be nothing sweeter than starting out the year 2-0 against the Bears and Vikings and reminding motherfuckers, this is who is the king of the North. Whom's the king of the North? It is Aaron Rodgers. And it will stay that way. And let me tell you, if they do lose one of those games, there should be some freaking out. I wouldn't say freak out, because you don't want to freak out there, but I do think that, yeah, you're going to get this narrative about you. And the Packers control their own destiny. They really do control their own narrative. If they go 2-0, it's going to be like, all right, you're playing catch-up the rest of the year. The Bears and Vikings will be playing catch-up the rest of the season. You go 1-1, say you beat the Bears, you beat the Vikings. Well, it's kind of status quo. Are you lose to the Vikings or vice versa? It's kind of status quo. In a weird way, you'd almost rather beat the Vikings than lose to the Bears. If you're like, if you have to split those division games, that's kind of what you'd want to happen. And if you go 0-2, it's worth kind of panicking. Because first of all, not a lot of teams make the playoffs that are start the season 0-2. Second of all, you're now two games back in the division, just in terms of the division record after head-to-heads. Like, you even split with the Bears and Vikings later in the year, but you've now lost two games at Lambeau. You've lost two division games at Lambeau. They can't really go 0-2. 0-2 really isn't an option for this Packers team. They have to at least get a split out of this. And if they get the 2-0, it'll be lovely. And then you have a schedule that works out kind of nicely for you going forward. So yes, Khalil Mack does worry me. I worry that I have to see Khalil Mack every, you know, twice a year. That, but at the same time, I know Aaron Rodgers is king. We don't know what Mitch Trubisky is. We have yet to determine that. We can think that Mitch Trubisky could be the second coming of Alex Smith and that this could be a mini San Francisco from years ago, but we don't know how Matt Nagy is as a coach. On paper, it all lines up. It all sounds great, but at the same time, you have to play it on the field. So we'll see what the Bears are about next Sunday. We'll just have to wait and see what's all going to happen. Moving on to the 53-man roster of the Green Bay Packers. So it is released. It is official. I have yet to see quotes from Brian Gutekunst. Jake Kumerow does make the team. So they kept 8 receivers. Virtually unheard of. I think part of that is due to the team, I think, still wants to trade Trevor Davis. I don't think Trevor Davis has a length here. I think they do want to get rid of Davis, but they decided to keep him instead of getting rid of him. Now, this is a very fluid situation. Things could change before Monday, before the first week of practice. Things could change. They do keep 3 quarterbacks. They only have 2 running backs. Obviously, Aaron Jones will be taking a roster spot in 2 weeks after he is done with his suspension. They kept 4 tight ends. Lance Kendricks actually made the team. Robert Tyon made the team as well. We'll see if Tyon lasts. That's another outstanding question. Alex Light was a guy who's kind of, again, an undrafted sort of surprise. Nothing really different in the defensive line area. Linebackers was another couple surprises with Vince Beagle and Kendell Donerson both moving on. Greer Martini, Ahmad Thomas, those were all guys who people thought might make the team. I think if Vince Beagle played for Middle Tennessee State in college, no one would really give a fuck about Vince Beagle. I think that's simply put. People are going to overreact to Vince Beagle because where he went to college. And we remind you all that UW is not a AAA program for the Green Bay Packers. Thank you again. Thanks for coming. Ahmad Thomas is a little bit of a surprise, I will admit. I don't know. The Packers saw something in James Crawford. James Crawford has kind of shown himself to be a little bit of a freak, especially on the special teams. So who knows? I think you got to consider everything sometimes with these roster moves. If, you know, Crawford's better on special teams than Ahmad Thomas, then Crawford deserves a roster spot. Demetri Goodson and Josh Hawkins are also not being on this team. I thought Josh Hawkins actually showed something. It's kind of amazing that Herb Waters kept a roster spot. I didn't know if that would be a thing, but Herb's on a team. Quinn Rollins is on injury reserve, but I'm not sure. And same with Kyle Murphy. So it seems like those guys will and maybe get the like designated for release. Not really sure what's going to happen there. Raven Green made the team. A lot of people were high on that undrafted free agent safety. I do think Raven Green has a spot on this team. I'm interested. I was curious that Jermaine Whitehead also made this team because Whitehead just, I don't know, hasn't really done much, but we'll see. So that's sort of the 53-man in a nutshell, just kind of running through it. I'm not, like, outraged. I mean, Ripkowski didn't make the team. Obviously, Joe Philbin doesn't think this offense will be using a lot of fullback, and they don't see it as a roster spot that's needed to be filled. People love the Ripper, but, you know, fullbacks come and go. I mean, what, the Saints, you know, signed and released John Kuhn like 3 fucking times last year. So I don't think it's anything to worry about. I think Ripkowski could come into this team if need be. But it does seem like, and the 8 receivers is a lot. I mean, no question about it. But I do think they want to get rid of Trevor Davis. And maybe Trevor Davis is a good ship to have if you're trying to deal for, let's say, an outside linebacker, inside linebacker. Maybe you're dealing for a running back. I don't know. I do think that the Packers have, this isn't done. Like, this 53-man roster looks good, looks fine. and it's not one to like overreact. I think the question is who's going to be that number four receiver when we step on the field on game one? It doesn't sound like Jake Kumerow is going to play. So is it going to be Valdez-Scantling? Is it going to be Equanimous St. Brown? You know, who is that fourth guy? I think is a really interesting conversation. Is that fourth guy going to just be Robert Tyon or Jimmy Graham, and then a guy like Mercedes Lewis is in on the inside? I don't know. We'll sort of see what happens. Obviously, there's stuff to talk about all week, and I know that this roster will change when we do this podcast again Sunday night. And it'll definitely change. All right, moving on to the Brewers. So they get ready to play Washington in a mere hour here. Steven Strasburg on the hill. See if the Brewers can get win number two and win, I believe it would be their fourth straight series. Strasburg has been worse at home this year. He's worse against lefties. So we'll see if there's the lefty power there. The Brewers, speaking of lefties, acquired two of them. David Stearns, I don't know, he has like a fetish for lefties or something. He gets Gio Gonzalez and he gets Curtis Granderson. So two good clubhouse guys, first of all, which I know that's like kind of a cliche thing, but you know, ever since I saw Theo Epstein on 60 Minutes and Theo being one of the more analytically sound minds in baseball saying, you know, chemistry really matters and we really factored chemistry in when it came to the 2016 Cubs. I think when you add more chemistry guys and you make it an even better and a more experienced locker room, a clubhouse, I guess they call it, whatever, fuck baseball. And they call it something else there. But like, yes, that's good stuff. That's all good things. I don't think Gio Gonzalez is going to be a true meaning a starter. They have all sorts of options right now. I think the Brewers are going to go with sort of a, I know the Brewer media likes to say Johnny Holstaff. I think you're going to get a lot of combos. Like, I think you're just going to get, like we talked about with Freddie Peralta a couple weeks ago, I think you're going to get, you know, Freddie Peralta pitching four innings and then Gio Gonzalez going another four. Or you're going to do things like that. Or Zach Davies. And then the next couple innings, you get Brandon Woodruff. I think that's how it's going to work right now because the Brewers have so many different options. I could make the argument that the Brewers are a better 30 or 40-man team than they are as a 25-man team. I just think they have a lot of guys who are toolsy, and they have a lot of guys who can do a lot of different things, and it's helpful. And I really am psyched about the Granderson thing because I think people have underreported how bad Eric Thames has been and how much of a sieve he's been this year. Or not, well, this year, but this month has been extremely disappointing. He was 4-for-41 in the month of August. He hit under a buck. He was 98. He batted 0.98 for the month. He had 25 strikeouts and 41 at-bats. I mean, that is not great, Bob. That is more than half of his at-bats resulted in a strikeout. He is in a true funk. And if you get Eric Thames now to a situation where it's like, Eric, you know what? You're not going to play much. We're going to have Granderson take your spot, but what we are going to have you do is come in late and maybe hit a dinger for us. That's all we need you to do. And I'll tell you what, and I will put my money down, there are going to be Eric Thames is going to have some September moments where he just hits a home run that's massive for the team. And the Brewers have an uphill climb. I mean, they're four back of the Cubs. The Cubs are playing the Phillies tonight. They're 3.5 back. The Cardinals are a half game up on, or quarter game, or half game up on the Brewers. So we'll see what happens. I mean, anything can happen in September. September is a wild month. Brewers would like to start out on the right foot. Like I said a couple days ago, to get to 93 wins, they had to go 20-9. Since that conversation, the Brewers have won three straight games. They're on this would be the first four-game winning streak for the Brewers if they win tonight since early July. So if they do win tonight, it would be their first four-game winning streak since early July. I believe they won four then and then lost to Atlanta the next day. So we'll see if the Brewers can get it done. This is a very big game for Milwaukee, and we'll see all the new additions today, tomorrow, Domingo Santana, Tyler Saladino, Brandon Woodruff, all up for this team. Corey Knebel and Zach Davies will be back tomorrow. So there's a lot of options for Craig Counsell. He will be mad scientist-ing the shit out of this team. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Like I said, later in the day probably, we'll talk about the Brewers, how they do against Max Scherzer, and if anything happened tonight. We'll also look ahead to Brewers-Cubs, as well as talk about any roster moves that are made for the Packers and probably look back at what happened for college football in week one if there were any surprises. So take care, guys. Have yourself a great Saturday night. If you're out and about in Milwaukee, don't be shy. Make sure you come up. We'd love to hear people talk to us about how much they love the podcast. Shout out to Andrew, who gave us a nice, said some nice things to us at Who's on Third. I should have bought him a beer for those nice words. I put my money where my mouth is, man. All right, guys. Take care of yourself. Have a good one. Just remember, the Bears still suck. Later.